a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for your patience. The South Dakota Senate will come to order, and we are privileged today to have leading us in prayer Senator Van Gerpen's alter ego, pastorally. They shared religious duties. And at his request, we have Pastor Brad Vrink from the Grandview Reformed Church in Armour. He also serves the East Lake Andes Lutheran Church. And leading us in the Pledge of Allegiance to our great nation's flag is Anna Flitner from Presho.
Would you pray with me? Father in heaven, we come to you today, Lord, and we're thankful that you created us. You made our very inmost beings. You knit us together. And therefore, Father, you go before us and you equip us. Thank you, Lord, for the leaders of this great state. And we pray, Lord, that you would walk with them and be with us today, Lord, furthermore. And may we give you all the praise, honor, and glory for who you are. And we pray this in your name alone. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Secretary will call the roll, please.
Bagalka, Bradford, Brown, Buell, Donnell, Kurd, Ewing, Frericks, Heineman, Holeen, Hunhoff, Jensen, Chuck Jones, Tom Jones, Kirkaby, Krebs, Lederman, Lucas, Maher, Monroe, Nordstrup, Umdahl, Otten, Peters, Rampelberg, Rave, Roden, Soholt, Solano, Sutton, Tiedemann, Thiessen, Van Gerpen, Valley, Welke, White. Mr. President, quorum present.
Thank you. Approval of the journal.
Mr. President, the Committee on Legislative Procedure respectfully reports that the Secretary of the Senate has had under consideration the Senate Journal of the fifth day. All errors, typographical or otherwise, are duly marked in the temporary journal for correction, and we hereby move the adoption of the report. Respectfully, Corey Brown, Chair.
All those in favor of the motion to adopt the journal signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carried. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, especially the students that are here today. We want to introduce a number of you and those who are listening on the Internet. We welcome you to your South Dakota Senate. As I'm fond of saying, you had a choice between another body and this one. Congratulations on being so wise. On behalf of the Senate, though, we want to thank you and a number of folks that are here today, and specifically recognizing today in the gallery, we have the state and district officers of the South Dakota Future Farmers of America. It's always great to have you. Welcome. And is Dr. Shequin here? Dr. Bean is. Doctor, but not Shequin yet. We're going to get to you, Dr. Bean. I don't see him, and Tim Reed from Brookings, so I don't see them yet. So we'll embarrass them when they come. On behalf of Senator Bagalka, the senior government class from Sioux Valley Volga and their instructor, Mr. Peter Books, is here. Sioux Valley Volga, where are you? Okay, great. Thanks for being here. And today is YMCA Day in the state of South Dakota. And no, it's not that song, but nice try. But it's good advertising, Senator Bagalka. And the governor has declared today YMCA Day for a number of reasons. What a phenomenal organization. But we want to recognize one individual who's sort of the recognition of this today is Roger Gilmore from YMCA Rapid City on behalf of Senator Rampelberg and Kirkaby and Jensen. And I'm sure I'm missing others, our Rapid City delegation, but also on behalf of your service to YMCA. Roger, would you please stand? Thank you. Senator Rampelberg and I actually ran a mini marathon this morning. About 4:30 we got up, so we didn't make it to the Y, but we want to make sure it counted. We do have our counters. So I want to prove that to you. So how'd that do, Bruce? Okay, good. Great. One of the privileges we have, especially for the students to know in terms of public service, is we have physicians that are willing to take time away from their practice and their partners pick up the slack. through the South Dakota Medical Association, which has been a great partner of public service in the state legislature. Today, we're honored to actually have truly a leader and, dare I say, a pioneer in behavioral health services in this state serving us and also in medicine, a true dean of medical care in this state, Dr. David Bean. Thank you for being with us today, Doctor. And ladies and gentlemen, we have a surprise for you. Are you excited? Senators, are you excited? Let's welcome back to America, Representative Kristi Noem.
Have a seat. Thank you. I thought you were going to be regulating his medication better, but apparently he's still just as much fun as he's always been. How are you all doing? Good? Good. Thank you so much for giving me some time. As a person who's only ever been a member of that house on the other side of the building and of the house in Washington, D.C., it's such a privilege for you to allow me to come and speak with you today. So I don't know if you had to pass a special resolution to make that happen or not, but I do appreciate the opportunity. And it literally does feel like when I come back to South Dakota so often that it is like coming back to America again, because D.C. so many times is so dysfunctional that it's fun to come home and see how things should be done. And so I want to continue to thank you. I know many of you have heard me talk about it before, but thank you again for setting such a good example of how government should be run, how it should be run for the people, and how things can be done right, how we balance budgets. We make tough fiscal decisions, but it's for the benefit of our people, and we keep taxes low so that businesses want to be here and do business here. We have fully recovered here in South Dakota from the losses and the job losses that we saw during the recession, that we are one of the few 15 states that we have seen that kind of job replacement since that has happened. Now, we're also one of the fastest growing states in the country and have the second lowest unemployment numbers. And I think that's because of the leadership that we've seen in South Dakota. We've seen good governing, a good House, a good Senate, a good governor that makes those tough decisions and makes sure that it's the right thing for the people at the right time. I'll just give you a quick update on some of the things that we've been working on in Washington, D.C. The number one topic that is on our minds right now is the farm bill, because we're in the final stretch. Most people ask me about this because it's been a long process in trying to get a bill that the House and the Senate can agree to that gives us a safety net, gives us a strong commodity title with crop insurance that makes sure that the risks that our farmers take every single year are going to be covered when that disaster hits. And we see all too often here in South Dakota that they do hit. When I explain it to my urban members that serve alongside me in the House, I say, you know, when you're a farmer, you go to the bank, you borrow a bunch of money, and you put it in the dirt. And you hope that that fall that there's something there that you can go back and pick up and use to take care of and feed your families. And that's why we continue to have a farm bill, is to protect some of them from that risk that they take every single year, because we recognize that it's of value to grow our own food in this country. We have to continue to grow our own food because it's the safest food supply of any nation. And the instant that we rely on another nation to feed us is really when we see our national security at risk. So we're going to have a strong farm bill that's not only going to have a strong commodity title, but it's going to reauthorize livestock disaster programs. I have a bill that is largely reflected in the final language that is going to reauthorize those three programs that have been in place in the past, but we're also going to deal with not only the current situation that we have with deaths that have reflected from Winter Storm Atlas, but it will retroactively go back to 2012 and make sure we cover those losses that they suffered through in 2012 through that drought as well. We have to make sure that we have that kind of disaster assistance in place, like so many other places in the country have seen when hurricanes have hit, when tornadoes have hit. Whenever we've seen somebody struggle through a tough situation, we've been there to make sure we help them through that. And our livestock producers are the only ones who have had to wait this long to make sure that we get it done. When this bill gets signed and put into law in the next week or two, we're going to make sure that those are the first people that are taken care of, because they're hanging on with all that they've got left.
Also, I've got a provision that'll be in this farm bill that we've been calling the sod saver provision, and it is a bill that is going to treat our native ground very differently under crop insurance. Traditionally, when a farmer is looked at native ground, they would be able to break up that ground and farm it and transfer their yields over onto that acre of ground that they've just broken, the same as any other crop ground that they may have. This bill is going to fix that and recognize that that land is very different. It's just not going to produce as much as it always has in the past. It's not going to produce as much as those other acres would for those first 4 years and will be treated that way. It'll be much more accountable to taxpayers and make sure that when people are breaking up our native soil, which is so special in South Dakota, that they think twice and aren't doing it for strictly funding reasons or making money. And we have some provisions in there in the forestry title that are going to help us with our battle with the pine beetles. I've got a bill in there that's going to help us cut through some of the environmental permitting processes. It takes us so long to get through the environmental permitting processes that many times by the time we're through that, the bugs have already flown beyond those boundaries. The U.S. Forest Chief Tidwell came to South Dakota just a few months ago, and we toured him all over the Black Hills and showed him the damage that has been not only to our forests but to the economies, the threatened communities that live throughout the hills with all of this dead and dying timber around them. And he said, you know what happens in Washington, D.C. so many times is that the funding, and especially through the Forest Service, will flow to where we're seeing results. He said, we are getting more results for our dollar in South Dakota than we are anywhere else in the United States. There's no reason more funding shouldn't be flowing into South Dakota. He also talked about the fact we have to stop talking about hundreds of acres at a time. We have to start talking about thousands of acres. Boy, that was a wonderful thing for me to hear from a man who's going to have the authority to give us some relief from the regulations that we're fighting with in the Black Hills and to make sure that some of that funding will continue to flow in. Now, I've had a lot of questions about the recent budget bill that we've had in agreement between Republicans and Democrats in Washington, D.C., about the appropriations bill that was just passed, and I wanted to tell all of you why I supported that bill. When I looked at that bill and the fact that we had Republicans and Democrats come together to find a way to make sure we weren't operating crisis by crisis, I knew the bill wasn't perfect, and it's certainly not one that I would have written. But it did take care of making sure that some of the priorities that I have established as my values were dealt with, and that also many of South Dakota's priorities were funded as well. With this bill being put into place and signed into law, it will be the fourth year in a row that we have reduced federal government spending. It's the first time since the Korean War that we've had 4 years in a row where federal government spending has gone down. This year, it will be $21 billion less than it was the previous year. It also made sure that South Dakota's priorities were still being funded. Lewis and Clark was funded at $3.5 million with access to another $27 million fund that could be used to get that project going forward. It also made sure that the Sanford Lab was going to be fully funded, which has been a struggle for us to do the last couple of years when the administration has zeroed it out. It also helped some of our consolidated school districts that were struggling with making sure that they were receiving impact aid that they were eligible for but were deemed ineligible by the way that No Child Left Behind was reauthorized. It also protected some of our post offices, which were in danger of being closed. It also made sure that there was dollars put back into our defense to make sure that the men and women who step up and take care of this country and defend this country and fight for our freedoms are going to be ready, that they're going to be trained, and that they're going to have the equipment that they need to do that job. All of those are reasons why I could support that bill, and to make sure that for the next year, we can continue to legislate and to work on the people's business and not have to worry about another government crisis or a government shutdown. Now, I've got a Corps of Engineers bill that was included in a Water Resources Act. If you remember during the flood that hit so much of our state, one of the biggest issues we had was that the Corps of Engineers had information that they did not share with the public. The bill that I had said that as soon as the Corps of Engineers had information, that they had to share it with public entities and the public through media, through other means, so that they could prepare and that they couldn't hold it too close to their vest in the future. Well, that legislation has been wrapped into our Water Resources Bill that did pass the House and that we're hoping that the Senate will pass real soon. So thankfully, this year in 2014, we're going to have a requirement in place that says the Corps of Engineers can never do what they did before when we had flooding along the Missouri River by withholding information from those who need to make the decisions that will best help protect our communities. And the last thing I want to touch on before I let you get back to business is that in 2014, one of the things that I will be working so diligently on is the sex trafficking issue that we've had so much light brought to over the last several years. You know, when most people in South Dakota think about sex trafficking, they think about international problems. They think about countries far, far away from here that maybe house most of the millions of children that are trafficked through that system. But I will tell you, we have a huge problem here in South Dakota, and most people don't even realize it. We've got a huge problem on our reservations, a big problem during hunting season. We've got a problem during the Sturgis bike rally. We've got kids that are going to some of our Sioux Falls school districts right now that are being approached in school, right outside of school, and becoming a part of the industry because they're being offered resources that they don't get at home or support that they don't get at home. We have over 300,000 children a year just here in the United States that are trafficked by people who take advantage of them and abuse them and sell them to benefit themselves and others around them and don't put them first. The more I learn about this problem that we have, the more that I don't sleep at night, and I hope that you don't sleep at night. I did not realize until last year that at the federal level that we cannot prosecute those people who create the market. We could go after those individuals that we call the Johns that go out and recruit these children for these acts or that go out there and bring them forward and create the ads that makes them available on the internet. But we couldn't prosecute those who responded to it. So I sponsored a bill that says we now can do that. We can now prosecute those individuals who respond to those ads, to those people that go after and try to take advantage of our children and to create that market. I also signed on to a bill that made sure that these children would have more access to child protection services and that we also, when we approach this situation, would make sure that when these children are wrapped up into a sting operation or brought in through a prosecution situation, that they are not going to be treated as criminals, that they will be treated as victims, which is what they are, and that there won't be any doubt or question as to the kind of help and resources that will be available to them throughout that process of trying to bring them back into some kind of normalcy and treatment situation that they may need to be after going through that kind of a situation. This is something, as a mother of three children, that is critically important to me. I know that you have some bills potentially that may come up during this session on this issue, and I hope we can partner on that. So we don't have holes in the South Dakota laws, in codified law, and we don't have holes at the federal level as well, that we can make sure we're doing all we can do here in South Dakota to keep our children safe. With that, thank you for giving me so much time today. I appreciate all that you do for us, and again, if you or your constituents need anything, always call our office. We would love to be of service any way that we possibly can. It is such a humbling honor to serve you and to serve your constituents. And I'll take one personal privilege, since I don't ever get to do that out in D.C., but I do have my daughter here today. My oldest daughter, Cassidy, is with me. Stand up, Cassidy. Yay. She is... I think when I was serving here, she was about 2 feet shorter. She kind of sprouted up. And we were talking today about how many times we lost Booker in this building. So all the kids say hello, and we miss you all, and thank you so much for serving us. Have a great day.
Hey, Cassidy, thanks for bringing Mom by.
Appreciate it.
Thank you very much. I also noticed sitting there that I have a classmate of mine from Legislative Service who happens to also be serving, continue to serve as County Commissioner in Brown County, a dear friend of public service and really a leader, not only at his time here on appropriations, but also in Brown County, our friend Dwayne Sutton. Hi, Dwayne. Are there any other personal privileges? Okay, for the students here, we have a set agenda, sort of like a classroom agenda. And the next item we're going on to is reports of our standing committees. These are reports from the committees that have heard bills today. Thank you. Please proceed.
The Committee on Local Government reports that it has under consideration Senate Bills 34 and 35 and recommends do pass, and Senate Bill 33, which was deferred to the 41st legislative day. Senator Kirkaby, Chair. The Committee on Taxation reports that it has had under consideration Senate Bill 56 and 57 and recommends do pass consent. Jeff Monroe, Vice Chair. The Committee on State Affairs reports that it has had under consideration Senate Bills 63 and 64 and recommends do pass, and also recommends that the Senate advise and consent to the confirmation of Lori Gill to the post of Commissioner of the Bureau of Personnel. Bureau of Human Resources. Senator Roden, Chair. The Committee on Health and Human Services reports that it has had under consideration Senate Bill 30 and recommends do pass consent. Jean Hunhoff, Chair.
Messengers, please.
Mr. President, I have the honor to transmit herewith House Bills 1016, 1026, and 1027, which have passed the House, and your favorable consideration is respectfully requested. Respectfully, Arlene Kvislin, Chief Clerk.
Motions and resolutions, please.
Senator Rabe moves that Senate Bill 62 be deferred to January 23rd, the 7th legislative day.
Second. All those in favor of that motion of deferral signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carried. We're on to the first reading of Senate bills. You might wonder, especially you of the computer age up there, why we do all this reading. Our Constitution requires it because at the time Constitution was adopted in 1889. Hard to believe they didn't have computers. And so it needed to be done all orally, and people were sitting up there taking notes, actually later than that, taking notes as to what the bills were by title, by number, and then what committee they go to. And that's put all on the computer here, but we haven't changed our Constitution, don't need to, but we're going to just read these in public because that's what the law says, and we adhere to the law. So please proceed. The first reading of Senate bills.
Senate Bill 72, an act to require notice to judgment debtors when certain judgments are discharged. Senate Bill 73, an act to allow certain non-residents to participate in school district elections. Senate Bill 74, an act to provide for the consideration of joint physical custody of a minor.
Thank you very much. The President Pro Tem assigns and I announce the following bills to be heard by these committees. Senate Bill 72, Commerce Committee. Senate Bill 74, Judiciary. And Local Government will hear Senate Bill 73. Thank you. We'll do the first reading of House bills as well.
House Bill 1016, an act to repeal certain outdated or unnecessary statutes and administrative rules pertaining to the Department of Public Safety. House Bill 1026, an act to provide for the transfer of the state's interests in the Webster National Guard Armory and underlying land to the City of Webster. House Bill 1027, an act to provide for the transfer of the state's interests in the Watertown National Guard Armory to the City of Watertown.
Thank you. House Bills 1026 and 1027, all three are assigned to the Committee on State Affairs. I understand we have with us now, and would also like to recognize Senator Tiedemann wants us to thank the people of Brookings for being here and representatives here. It's Brookings SDSU Day. We have Brookings community members, their chamber members, business leaders, faculty, and other leaders. I believe they're behind me here. They might be in blue, right? Is that possible? How did I know that? It's always great to have you here. Brookings, SDSU. Thank you very much. Okay, we're on to announcements. A couple I have is a legislative procedure meeting. That's a joint committee meets in 413 at 3 p.m. 413 at 3 p.m. Also, I did this prematurely yesterday. We have the South Dakota Beer Distributors. I have their reception, and you have an invitation. Make sure if you go to use the card as your transit, you'll get free transportation if you attend there and imbibe a little. Further announcements. Senator Peters.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, ma'am.
Joint Appropriations meets again tomorrow, topic of conversation. We still have the Department of Education with Dr. Schaap with us, but we are going to be talking about the state aid to general ed funding formula, the special ed funding formula, and technology in the K-12 system. So that's on our agenda for tomorrow. We meet from 8 to noon.
That's a full plate. Good afternoon, Senator Soholt.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Education will meet tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. and 4:23. We'll gavel in, and then we're going to join appropriations for the state aid funding formula.
Thank you, ma'am. Further announcements. Senator Holeen.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Commerce and Energy meets tomorrow at 10. We have about 8 bills to tackle, so please show up on time and ready to work.
10 a.m., Commerce and Energy. Senator Teason, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. President. The Judiciary Committee will take up Attorney General bills at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Thank you. Judiciary, 8 a.m. Further announcements? Senator Rave.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Republicans Caucus in 5 minutes, room 423. Senate Republicans Caucus, 5 minutes.
Looks like Senator Bradford's already caucusing by himself. Any further announcements? Oh, nice. I drew you out. Senator Frerichs.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just a reminder, breakfast tomorrow morning at 6:30 with our friends in the Blue Corduroy, and it's over there at American. Always good food, and usually it has the producers in mind. So thank you.
Thank you, sir. Further announcements? Madam Secretary, you're up.
Senator Ewing moves that the Senate do now adjourn.
I didn't even see your lips move. All those in favor of adjournment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carried.